Time to get a little bit more on the trip here. Amen. You know, I believe more than anything, when we get that mentality, it's not just to keep on going on, but that mentality is for revival. When you get that mentality in your heart, more than anything, I want more of your spirit. That's when we start getting something deep down inside. Amen. And I'm glad the service is going how it's going because, well, that's kind of how I'm going with my sermon. But I want to take a little different approach to the idea of revival. Maybe something hasn't been preached much, you know. I guess what we're used to, but I want to preach on how to know that you're in revival or signs of revival. How do you know that there's signs of revival in your life? And there's a multitude of signs that I could, you know, talk about and I could share with tonight, but I'm gonna limit it to three. These are the ones that the Lord dealt me with, so I'm just gonna go ahead and gonna do that. But first I wanna go ahead and pray. So let's all lift a hand, let's lift our voices and let's ask God to have his way with us. Lord, I pray that you would come down. Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. And throughout the ages, revival has been defined by many different people as many different things, and we all, I guess, have our own idea of what revival is, I guess, in our lives or in the church as a whole. And a lot of times we see, well, you know, I guess in the church we'd say, you know, if you know, sister, you know, so-and-so, if she would shout, that's revival in our church. That's when our church is really having revival. Or if that person would walk in through those doors and would give their heart to Jesus Christ, that's when we would have revival. And a lot of people define revival as many different things, you know, but we know that revival is more than just, you know, one person breaking through or one person shouting because they found maybe revival for themselves. But revival is more a personal thing in our hearts and in our lives. I believe it with all my heart. Amen. Because, see, where it's not just I know it's a church, I guess, nowadays, but, you know, salvation is more of an individual thing. It's not just over the nation of Israel. God has placed us in this time, and he has saved us individually. And so God deals with us individually. And we see that in our lives when it comes to revival. God works in our lives, and he sends revival to us personally. But you know, a lot of times we seek for revival, but we feel that we never attain it because we never know exactly what we're going to get a hold of or what exactly we're going to attain to have revival in our life. And I want to look at different signs of revival in our life. And I want to talk, actually, Sister Kayla, she did very well. I mean, just hit the nail right on the head tonight. You know, the first thing that you see a sign of revival is when you have a desire to have a prayer life. You know, there's one thing to say, you know, we need one, but to actually desire it. And prayer life, I've said it many times before, even behind the pulpit, is that prayer life is cultivated. It's not just something that's there, you know, instantly. It takes time to cultivate a prayer life. And you know what? It takes a passion to cultivate that. And that's what I want to talk tonight. We have to have a desire in our heart. One of the signs is a desire in our heart for a move of God. Amen. As many times, Brother God was saying, you know, to have that daily prayer life, you know, a daily want to, a daily striving for God moving in our lives and getting a hold of him and communing with him. That's what it takes to have a revival in our lives. And that is a sign of revival. Amen. I mean, there's also, we need a desire. I know sometimes it's not always there with me, and that is to be a daily witness. Desiring to be a daily witness. Sometimes it seems like you want to just, you know, ease into with the crowd. I know many times that, you know, at work, it feels like you have to have a Holy Ghost, a detox from the world. It feels like after a long days of work, just because, you know, the world is so filthy. Vile, And you know, when you get there, when you know it, there's pressure to fit in, to go along. But you know what? We need a desire to have a move of God in our life and to be a witness to others, whether it be at the workforce or out and about, just going from here to there or shopping, who knows what. But we're going to go ahead and talk about a continual seeking for the gifts of the Spirit. And I begin to pray. I really begin to pray about this because God, he's dealt with my life many times over and over about this, the gifts of the Spirit. A lot of times we look at the gifts as someone, you know, that's super spiritual. But you know, the church, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12:21, it says, but covet earnestly the best gifts. Talking about the gifts of the Spirit. That's there in 1 Corinthians 12. And also talks about a better way even than this, the gifts of the Spirit. And that's prophecy and having a charitable spirit. God, you find that in 13 and 14 of 1 Corinthians. But, you know, we should honestly covet after the gifts of God. Amen. In our lives, a lot of times we feel that, you know, speaking in tongues, you know, we feel like, you know, we've arrived when it's come to speaking in tongues and God's filling us with His Spirit. And that's a very good thing. That's a necessary thing in our lives. You know, not for salvation, but in the walk of God. It's something that's so needed. But you know what? There's more to go on to do in the things of God. A lot of times we feel that, you know, once we've received the Spirit of God, that's it. But you know what? There's more. I want to urge, you know, get that sign of a revival in our lives. You know, that's something we can strive for. The gift of other tongues, you know, there's usually just a couple, handful of people, you know, in a church that can, you know, maybe interpret, or there are gifts of healings, you know, that may be ministered, just a handful. But God says that He's given us severally, anybody who will, to come and to receive. Amen. And that's something that we should strive for. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's an illustration about these runners, and they were on a 5-mile trek through these mountains, and they were going for the goal. You know, that finally they finish off their 5 miles, and they were running, and they were doing their best to get through. But the guy in the lead, he went to the four-mile marker, and he stopped, and he took a rest. And the other ones that were coming in behind him, they seen him sitting there, and they were like, oh, this is it. We feel like this guy's crossed the finish line. And so they sat down, and they begin to talk with him, and they begin to rest with him and everything. And the guy about the end of the line, he came running, he kept moving, and he had realized that there was more to gain in that race, and he kept on passing them by, and the people thought and kind of made jokes at him, like, you know, that man, you know, this is the end, you don't have to run anymore. But he had purpose, and he went and he kept racing, and he actually did win that race. You know, and that's how it is in our spiritual lives. A lot of times we see others, you know, they go so far and they stop and they say, well, you know, they're doing really good, and you know, if I just make it to where they're at, then I would be doing good. I feel like I would arrive, as you know, those runners had. But you know what? There's more to do in Christ. Amen. And I'm spiritual gifts, the Bible says, to covet after them, to seek them. Amen. And if we have those things in our lives, that is something that is that God could take and use and to move through us and touch others. But also, and finally, we need a boldness in our Christianity. And I find this so many times. There's a lot of people that will claim that they're Christians, they lack boldness. And we find boldness in Acts chapter 2, verse 14. Talking about the day of Pentecost, Sister Kayla. It says, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea, all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known to you and hearken to my words. He stood up with boldness. And a lot of times, you know, we feel that, we, like I was saying at the very beginning, we feel that if we could maybe just blend in, or if we could say a word or two, but the Bible is full of illustrations of bold Christians that will stand up for their faith, that even to the death. You know, God has called us to a life of boldness as Christians. And we need to stand in boldness to maybe our co-workers at the workplace. Right. I work at a warehouse, and I mean it is packed full of you know, the unchurched, the sinners, hardcore, and it's just terrible at times. And there's this guy where I work in particular, he has this radio and he cranks it blaring with the oldies. Feels like all day. And then at the very end, I got like 3 hours left, he shuts off the radio and he goes home, he does his own thing. Well, one particular day, he decided that, you know, he was going to tell me, you just turn on any station that you want to. So I went ahead and I flipped it on to Joy FM, and I started listening to the music that was playing. And the music that was playing was talking about who God is and you know what he does, and just the incredibleness of God. And I was there just doing my own thing, working there in the warehouse, and a guy came around a skid of items there, and he said, did you turn that radio on? I was like, yes. I was like, man, I think I just got in trouble or something, I don't know. And he said, thank you so much. He said, that just put an exclamation point, to a conversation I was having with God. And you know, sometimes the things that you do, whether it be at the workplace or whatever, it can be a witness. And you know, God has called us to a life of boldness and to long after the things of Him. You know, we need to have boldness also in our worship. A lot of times we come and, like Sister Kayla said, we just made it. We don't really want to go out. But you know, God calls us to be bold in our worship, and you know, to express ourselves, to commune with God. I was praying before church, and I was like, God, you know, in the song service, let us have a boldness to worship you in spirit and in truth. You know, a lot of times we feel that, you know, that just sitting on the pew is all that it takes. But, you know, we need a boldness in worship. And finally, men and fathers and leaders of the home, we also need boldness in our home life. And, you know, we need boldness to share the gospel with our family, even the wives, the mothers, to share boldness with their children, because that is so needed. I remember many times, you know, we weren't allowed to go into mom's room at a certain time for, you know, sometimes a couple hours at a time, because it was her time, you know, to have devotions, and we knew that was her time. You know, and that's what it takes. If that's what it takes, you know, to teach your kids, you know, this is an important time, a time that you get alone with God, it's just you and God, you know, and begin to be bold with even with your own family life. And I know that there's people, you know, you live in a family that may not even, you know, want God to be in there. But, you know, you can live a life and to be an example before your family. Amen. But, you know, I guess the theme that's been even throughout this church service, and God really had placed in my heart, that, you know, the thing about revival is desire. The desire for revival. Amen. And I've preached about revival before here. And, you know, the verse says, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and seek my face, you know, if you're seeking something, you got to be desiring for it. You got to want it. And I don't want to, you know, reiterate, but if it's what the Lord wants, you know, we need a desire for God in our lives. You know, a lot of times the reason why we don't have a consistent daily prayer life is, you know, we're not hungering after God. I believe that we should hunger after God. Amen. If we had that hunger, if we had that zeal that sister was talking about, if we had that passion in our life, that's when we're going to find revival. Yes. Amen. And on this Wednesday night, you know, we can have revival in our hearts personally. God can work and move in our hearts if we have a hunger for Him. My question to you tonight, do you have a hunger for the revival of God in your life? Do you have a hunger now, tonight? Amen. And if you do, God is able and willing to hear you. Amen. To touch you and to give you what you need from God, to give you revival. I believe God can touch and move in your life tonight. Amen. Let's go ahead and let's all stand. If a sister would come to the piano, amen. Whoever would like to, let's go ahead and bow our heads. You know, these are signs of revival. And, you know, sometimes, and this includes myself, I stand back and I take a look at my life and say, you know what, right there, that is what I have not been hungering after. And I need to start hungering after that. I need to start searching this more. And I need to start seeking after that more. And you know what, that's where I need to start focusing. And you know what, God is faithful to bring back these things to remembrance that we can go after and receive from Him. And tonight, I don't know what may have struck a chord in your heart. But I pray that whatever it may be, whatever God may deal with you or even dealt with me tonight, to seek earnestly, to covet, to desire. A lot of times throughout the week, we get caught up in the cares of life. We just get caught up with work, with the things that's going on in the house, many different things, and we lose sight of what's important in our spiritual walk, in our spiritual walking and revival. You know what God calls times that we inspect ourselves, do introspection, and see the things that we need to let God have, to let God work with, to let God revive. And that's what I wanna talk about tonight here in this altar call. That's what I wanna call to your remembrance. Things that God has dealt with. So tonight, I want to invite everyone to come to this altar. And if God's been dealing with you, God's worked on your heart, spoke to you in any way during this service, just let Him have His way in your heart tonight. Amen. If everyone that could, everyone that will, let's come to the altar.